Allô. Bonjour, une fois de plus. Je me nomme Henri Kwan, le directeur exécutif de CEPI. Et nous allons maintenant présenter notre rapport qui a été cofinancé par le Atlas Network et Phoenix Construction qui sont basés ici à Yaoundé au Cameroun. Alors, nous allons avoir deux présentations. I understand that some people here speak English. Certains d'entre nous parlent anglais, alors il y aura une présentation en anglais de 6 minutes et une présentation en français également de 6 à 10 minutes. Et j'aimerais encourager tout le monde à poser des questions en anglais et en français, comme ça nous puissions avoir une réelle interaction. Alors merci beaucoup. So I'll get started with the English presentation. Now, the report you see here today is titled The Impact of the Economic Partnership Agreement and the African Continental Free Trade Area on the Cameroonian Economy. So welcome once again to the presentation of CEPI's flagship report. This report was funded by our partners, like Mr. Fossey said, and would like to extend our warmest thanks to the Atlas Network and Phoenix Construction Group for funding this report. I also want to congratulate the CEPI team who has worked tirelessly and were in every office needed to get the data we needed to complete this report. This report will not be possible without them. And I would equally like to extend a special thanks to our research fellows, Dr. Chofung Ti, who isn't here at the moment, and Dr. Hervé Wapi, and Mr. Hawaiian Jamu, Dr. Ongale David for their comments, and of course, our research analyst whom you guys met earlier. So before we begin, I'm not going to make this too boring. Everything we are using in this room, in one way or another, is impacted by trade. Pardon me, let me just get a bit comfortable. So a little bit about the background. Cameroon has grown on an average of 4% each year. The poverty rate is estimated at 40%. And our trade balance, according to the most recent data from the Ministry of Finance, is estimated at 367 billion euros. It increased by 138 from last year. So we're importing more than we are exporting. And that's a structural and fundamental problem in our economy. CEPI chose to finalize this report for two reasons. Because since we signed the African Continental Free Trade Area in 2018, and since we signed the Economic Partnership in 2014, we haven't had any single report or any single research in Cameroon quantifying the benefits of this trade agreement. If we don't know how this trade agreement will impact wages, incomes, agricultural sector, exports, then it means that we're signing trade agreements in vain. And so what we want to do today is to measure and forecast what the impact of this trade agreement are going to be so that we can now plan how to reform or engage in the reforms of various sectors to ensure that we can leverage the maximum benefits from this trade agreement. So a quick overview of trade. 77% of our trade is with European countries, of course, Europe, Asia, and also North America. Our main trading partners are China, the Netherlands, France, India. We all know this. And the fact that 77% of our trade happens with a handful of countries means that if one of these countries has a financial crisis or an economic crisis, Cameroon suffers. Which is why when China, for example, sneezes, Cameroon catches a cold. So our trade relationships are very imbalanced. From our report, we find that on average, we export about 1.5 billion euros worth of goods and services to Europe and import about 2 billion worth of goods. Over the last 10 years, that has been the case. So this just goes to show how dependent we are on this market. When you look at our exports, the majority of our exports are crude petroleum oils, liquefied natural gas, cocoa waste, fuels, lubricants, etc. So we also have to, the whole point of completing this report is to get Cameroonian businesses and entrepreneurs to also think about how to improve the quality of the products and the services that they offer. Now, I won't spend too much time talking about the report. I'm going to go straight to the key results and to our policy recommendations because we started a bit late. So firstly, Cameroon is the largest economy in Central Africa. And since we embarked on a program of trade liberalization in 1990,
we designed a common external tariff. This common external tariff is applied to third countries who want to trade with Cameroon. And in 2007, the interim partnership agreement with the European Union was signed. It was ratified in 2014. And this allows Cameroon to export to Europe without paying any import duties, at least for 80% of products that are exported to the EU. And on the other hand, with the European Union, we're going to be able to import products from the European Union, and they're not going to pay import duties. Now, I want some of us to worry here about the implications for the government's revenues, but on the whole, consumers are going to benefit. The African Continental Free Trade Area, what is it? African countries have come together and they've signed a trade agreement which covers over 53 countries and is deemed the largest in the world with over 1.2 billion people. It seeks to eliminate tariffs and non-tariff barriers to stimulate trade, and it eliminates import duties on 90% of products over a 10-year period. Now, this report measures the impact of the AFCFTA and the EPA on economic growth. And we do that. How do we do that? We simply use the dynamic computable general equitable model. That's a handful, but we don't need to remember that. But we measured Cameroon, the impact of this trade agreement on Cameroon's trade with 51 other countries. So this goes to show just how comprehensive this report is. What did we find? We found that in terms of GDP, when both trade agreements are applied, our GDP would increase by about 918 million from 2020 to about 1,102 million in 2030. So this represents economic growth of about 2.4 and 2.5%. Now, if Cameroon's GDP is currently, say, 5%, it means that when we fully implement both trade agreements, GDP is going to increase by 7.5%. That's astronomical. That's China-level growth. Now, exports for agricultural products obviously are going to increase. The agriculture sector contributes 17% of Cameroon's GDP, employs over 60% of people in the informal sector. So clearly, it's one of the sectors that will benefit the most. In the industrial sector, exports will only rise by about $282 million because Cameroon isn't as technologically advanced as other countries. So the mics, the computers, the cameras are imported from somewhere. The software that's used on these computers are equally manufactured in other countries and are imported from those countries. So this is why when it comes to the service sector, we're going to continue importing a lot from other countries as opposed to export. Now, in terms of domestic demand, obviously we know that in the last 2 years, fuel prices have increased. They've increased by about 10% and 15% respectively in the last 2 years, which means that consumers are paying about 700 to 830 francs for a liter of fuel. This means that this is why more people have been pushed into poverty. 2 years ago, the rate of poverty in Cameroon was about 34-35%. But because transport prices have increased by 15%, it means consumers are poorer. If we have more poor people in Cameroon, then we have to rely on free trade to make sure that people can afford basic necessities. Rice from Indonesia, Indomie from Nigeria and China. Free trade is there to ensure that people and citizens can access cheap food and hopefully improve their standards of living. So I won't talk about the numbers on that one because I think it's self-explanatory. But when it comes to domestic demand, the African Continental Free Trade Area would actually reduce domestic demand in Cameroon because we're going to start consuming products from other countries like Kenya, Nigeria, Ethiopia, etc. Now, what this means is that we have to work towards ensuring that our own industries are able to be competitive enough in order for them to fully leverage the new markets that we might find in Central Africa, Eastern Africa, etc. Leveraging and unlocking the dividends in these markets are imperative for our SMEs to thrive. Remember that about 34 to 40% of SMEs close within the first 3 years of operations. The reason why that is because of a difficult environment, but also because these SMEs are sometimes not exposed to new markets. And so having to sell to 30 million people in Cameroon isn't sometimes sufficient. You have to look to Nigeria, 200 million people, maybe look to Egypt, maybe look to South Africa, etc. Finally, investment. Most businesses in Cameroon face challenges when it comes to accessing investment. Why? Simply because very few businesses are able to open bank accounts and build the types of relationships or have the financial backing that is necessary for them to take a loan. So investment is very important. And investment is going to increase by about 0.2% in industry, 0.1% in agriculture and services. And under the AFCFTA in 2020 and 2030, investment will increase by about 2.9% and 1.6%. I will spare the numbers for agriculture, which range between 2 and 4%. And for services, investment will increase by about 1 to 2.5%. Household welfare. So just to recap, we've spoken about the benefits, the benefits of the AFCFTA and the EPA to GDP, exports, domestic demand, investment and corporate profits. And finally, household welfare. We live in a developing country where 30% of people live below the poverty line. That is not a coincidence. At CEPI, if we're really at CEPI and in your respective careers, if we're really committed to reducing poverty, then we have to always verify how free trade agreements are going to impact households wherever they are, in Boya, in Yaoundé, in Douala, in Ebolowa, etc., in Bafoussam, etc. So when we look at household welfare, what we found is that household welfare will increase by about 651 million, which corresponds to a 3.11% increase in household welfare in net terms. However, we found that although wages will increase by 0.9% in 2020 and 0.8% in 2030, the economic partnership agreement is going to bring down wages in Cameroon. How is that going to happen? Cheap imports mean that Cameroonian businesses are going to have to either cut staff or adjust their processes in order for them to stay competitive. And because there's going to be more demand for more supply of labor as opposed to demand, businesses are going to be able to pay people less. So at CEPI, what we've done is rather than simply say we have to renegotiate the trade agreement, what we're recommending is that we strengthen our infrastructure to better take advantage of this trade agreement. This means that we have to improve transport and logistics systems to make it cheaper for businesses to move goods from one place to another, and meaning that they can then maintain the staff they have if they're reducing transportation costs, and also making sure that this improvement in transport and logistics facilitates the fluidity of trade flows and reduces the cost for exporters. The EU has also identified infrastructure development as a key priority area in its cooperation with Cameroon. So what we have to do is now to leverage this and hopefully strengthen our infrastructure. We currently have about 28,000 kilometers of roads graded properly. We have to make sure that we reach a target of about 3,000 to 6,000 kilometers a year. There's no excuse if we can produce effectively in the southwest region and in the far north, people are facing extreme levels of hunger. Secondly, we also have to improve agricultural competitiveness. It goes without saying, over 80% of agricultural farmers in Cameroon farm less than 2 hectares of land. We have to make sure that we consolidate our agricultural sector to ensure that we can group farmers based on crop types, based on production methods, based on markets, and based on export potential. Now, this means that we have to support modern agricultural techniques, ensure that equipment for agriculture and fishing, etc., are tax deductible. In the finance law for last year, the government already made sure that that was tax deductible. So we simply have to make sure that it stays that way. Thirdly, we also have to improve the business environment and stimulate investment. This means that we have to reduce bureaucratic obstacles, ensure political stability. We cannot forget the Anglophone crisis or the Boko Haram incursion in the far north. All of these have an impact on the levels of investment that we can attract. Nobody wants to invest in the country or in a country that is facing various forms of conflict. And finally, we also have to use development cooperation. We have to engage with the EU and the United States differently. Of course, our consciousness is changing, and people think that people in Cameroon, as well as President Macron, think that we have to rethink our relationships with Europe. But this means that we are simply not questioning the nature of these relationships. we should have clear plans for how we want to redefine these relationships. Germany has some of the best roads in Europe and some of the most advanced technologies. So if we're working with Germany, GIZ, for example, works a lot in agriculture, we need to be certain that when it comes to our infrastructure, we want to work with Germany to be able to enjoy or leverage those innovations. Each European country has a specific strength. And recasting and rethinking our relationships means that we should have an understanding of what needs to change and how that needs to change. Finally, we need to stimulate manufacturing production, currently contributing about 17 to 25% of GDP. We need to move beyond a national development strategy. It's good, it provides some guardrails, some guidelines, but we have to ensure that businesses understand what types of innovations they need to have, they need to make, in order for them to become much more competitive locally and internationally. We also have to develop a national strategy for the African Continental Free Trade Area. Now, the Ministry of Commerce has released a number of documents, which includes a strategy for the AfCFTA. They've also created a local council, or a local working group, I should say, that's responsible for implementing the AfCFTA. But there is a dearth of information. Today, we have signed a range of protocols under the African Continental Free Trade Area, from youth and women to goods and services to investment, but the ministry hasn't shown civil society how they are implementing these investment protocols. So today, it's up to us to think about how we're going to implement these protocols and what different parts of society and what different roles the different parts of society are going to play. We are obviously fortunate to be engaging with the lead negotiator, Mr. Parfait Depot. However, we also have to caution that a lot more has to be done to ensure that we fully leverage the benefits of this trade agreement. Finally, we need to strengthen trade regulations, which means that we have to implement effective regulations, ensure the fluidity of trade operations, and we have to raise awareness to the private sector, because ultimately we've signed a trade agreement, but this trade agreement is only going to be implemented by the private sector. So we have to make sure that businesses understand what to do from day one if they want to export under the AfCFTA. It's no longer enough to hold panel discussions like this and talk about an agreement being signed and its implications for development and how that's going to benefit wages and incomes. That's no longer sufficient. And so, this is why our report explicitly recommends that we need to make sure that businesses understand what to do, where to do it, and how to do it. Finally, we have to invest in infrastructure. We say this every single year, but internet is expensive and flighty. We need roads, we need clean drinking water, we need to ensure that businesses don't have to suffer from power outages. All of this illustrates the importance of reiterating the need for us to invest in infrastructure. If we don't have a good infrastructure, businesses are not going to be able to thrive. It's going to be difficult to do business in Cameroon, and that's going to repel investors. So it's imperative for us to signify that we should keep thinking about the need for us to invest in infrastructure and also hold our local and national governments to account. So with that being said, that's the presentation in English. I am now going to move to the same presentation in French, which is going to be brief. I encourage you all to look at the documents that have been given to you. I think you have the summary of the report there, so you can follow in French. Alors, je vais dire bienvenue une fois de plus à la présentation phare de l'Institut des politiques économiques du Cameroun, CEPI. Ce rapport a été financé par nos partenaires, le Atlas Network, Phoenix Construction Group, qui est ici aujourd'hui avec nous. Alors, nous vous disons merci. Un peu de contexte avant qu'on ne commence. Le PIB du Cameroun, en moyenne, est à 4% pour les 10 dernières années. Le taux de pauvreté est à 40%. Notre balance commerciale a creusé et a atteint 367 milliards d'euros. Et le secteur d'agriculture contribue à environ 17% de notre PIB. Alors, le Cameroun a un taux de chômage estimé à 3,8%. C'est ce qui est déclaré, mais ce n'est pas vraiment notre taux de chômage parce que entre 75 et 85% de travailleurs sont logés dans le secteur informel. Alors, nous ne pouvons pas dire aujourd'hui que si vous conduisez un moto-taxi, vous êtes employé proprement parce que vous êtes employé, oui, mais c'est un différent type d'emploi, c'est un emploi informel. Donc, notre chômage à 3,8%, c'est important de prendre cette statistique avec un pincée de sel. Nous allons aller directement à la présentation de nos imports. 77% de notre commerce sont avec des pays en Europe, en Asie et en Amérique du Nord. L'Afrique comprend environ 10% de notre commerce en total. Alors pourquoi est-ce qu'on ne commerce pas en Afrique et on commerce avec l'Europe, l'Amérique du Nord et l'Asie? Si nous regardons la structure... Si nous prenons un aperçu de notre commerce, on importe beaucoup de la Chine, de la France, de l'Inde, et nous savons bien sûr ce qu'on importe. C'est du déodorant, c'est le jus d'orange, c'est des céréales, etc. Donc c'est des habits que nous portons, tout est importé. Je vais pas vous donner des chiffres, mais aux Pays-Bas, 23% de nos importations, la France, 12,3%, l'Inde, 9%, principalement le riz et aussi le gaz naturel liquéfié. La Chine, bien sûr, l'Italie, Bangladesh, l'Indonésie, tous ces pays ont pris la peine d'investir dans le secteur de la manufacturation. Alors, c'est important pour nous de faire de même. Le Bangladesh, aujourd'hui, l'Inde, on importe du riz, c'est parce qu'ils ont pu investir suffisamment pour pouvoir exporter envers nos pays. L'Espagne, la Belgique, bien sûr. Généralement, c'est des machines industrielles, des produits chimiques, etc. Donc, la peinture autour de nous, si vous regardez, la majorité de ces composants proviennent de pays en Europe. Nos exportations vont où? L'huile brute de pétrole, les fèves de cacao, la pâte de cacao, l'aluminium brut va aux Pays-Bas, 23%. La France, c'est surtout le gaz naturel liquéfié, le pétrole brut, les produits cacao. L'Inde, la même chose, la Chine, Tchad, on n'exporte que les huiles brutes du pétrole. Donc, la matière première n'est pas suffisante pour les tirer, nos jeunes, de la pauvreté et de faciliter le développement économique inclusif. Alors, nous partons directement aux principaux résultats de notre rapport. Le Cameroun est bien sûr l'économie le plus grand de la zone CEMAC. Et depuis qu'on s'est lancé dans notre programme de libéralisation en 1990, qui a été engendré par le FMI et la Banque mondiale, il y a eu quelques progrès, l'économie a progressé, le taux de pauvreté reste beaucoup trop élevé. Mais en juin 2013, on a ratifié l'accord de partenariat économique avec l'Union européenne. Et en 2018, la SLECA avec plus de 52 pays africains. Alors, ce rapport, tout simplement, mesure l'impact de ces différents accords internationaux ou accords de partenariat avec ces économies. Et on utilise un modèle régional dynamique d'équilibre calculé à base de 51 pays, dont 43 pays africains et 8 autres, et 65 secteurs partout dans le monde. Alors c'est compréhensif et c'est le premier rapport qui mesure l'impact économique des différents partenariats économiques ou accords internationaux avec d'autres pays. Accords de commerce avec d'autres pays. Alors la croissance, le PIB est très très important. Ces deux accords ont augmenté le PIB par d'environ 918 millions de dollars en 2020 et 1102 dollars en 2030. Ça représente une croissance d'environ 2,4 à 2,5%. Donc le Cameroun, si aujourd'hui notre croissance est estimée à 5%, la croissance pourrait augmenter d'environ 7,45%. C'est pas petit. Alors, les exportations, d'ici 2030, bien sûr, l'agriculture va connaître une... forte croissance de 6,55 millions de dollars, tandis que les exportations du secteur industriel augmenteront de 282 millions de dollars. Cependant, les exportations envers l'Afrique ne sont pas affectées par l'APE, même si 43,3% de nos produits agricoles et 8% de nos produits industriels sont vendus en Afrique. Dans le cadre de l'ASLECA, les exportations envers l'Afrique vont augmenter d'environ 14 millions de dollars, pour l'agriculture, 63 millions de dollars. La demande intérieure va augmenter dans le cadre de l'APE d'environ 0,01% pour les produits agricoles, 0,6% pour les produits industriels et 0,03% pour les services. Comme j'ai dit auparavant, nous sommes toujours dépendants en termes du secteur de services des autres pays parce que le logiciel de nos téléphones et nos ordinateurs provient d'autres pays. Alors, l'investissement et les bénéfices des entreprises. Les investissements dans l'industrie vont augmenter d'environ 0,2%, mais diminuent pour l'agriculture et les services d'environ 0,1%. Pourquoi est-ce que les investissements diminuent au Cameroun alors que nous sommes en train de s'ouvrir envers d'autres marchés? La raison, c'est parce que nous avons un environnement très difficile pour les entreprises. Les taxes, les taux d'imposition sont beaucoup plus, sont très très imposantes. Et la procédure de paiement ou même l'enregistrement d'une entreprise, la procédure de formalisation est toujours très très difficile. En Angleterre ou aux Pays-Bas, tu peux commencer une entreprise aujourd'hui en moins de 30 minutes et payer 45 euros ou 50 sterling environ. Au Cameroun, c'est une très longue procédure. Alors cela décourage l'investissement. Et même comme le commerce va encourager plus de personnes à commercer avec le Cameroun, les investisseurs recherchent un environnement propice, un environnement qui garantit la stabilité, un environnement qui promet ou engendre une croissance implicite dans différents secteurs. Alors, si nous n'avons pas ça, bien sûr, l'investissement va souffrir. C'est pour ça que nous proposons dans nos recommandations que nous devons continuer à réformer l'environnement des affaires et le climat d'affaires au Cameroun. Créer une entreprise devrait prendre moins de 3 jours et peut-être la procédure devrait être dématérialisée. Ça devrait être complètement fermé. Le bien-être des ménages, les deux accords vont améliorer le bien-être des ménages. Comme nous avons dit auparavant, 40% des Camerounais vivent sur le seuil de la pauvreté. Alors si ces accords augmentent la qualité de vie d'environ 651 millions, ce qui correspond à une augmentation de 3,1%, cela veut dire que les ménages vont bénéficier également de ces accords commerciaux avec l'Union européenne et l'Afrique. Quelles sont nos recommandations? Et pardonnez-moi si je suis bref. Il faut renforcer les infrastructures pour mieux tirer parti de la zone de libre-échange, de l'ASLECA et de l'APU. Il faut améliorer les systèmes de transport et de logistique et faciliter une fluidité des flux commerciaux pour réduire les coûts pour les exportateurs. Nous devons également améliorer la compétitivité de l'agriculture et améliorer l'environnement des entreprises et le climat d'affaires pour stimuler l'investissement. Ici, il s'agit notamment de réduire les obstacles bureaucratiques, de garantir la stabilité politique. Alors, n'oublions pas la crise anglophone et la crise Boko Haram à l'extrême nord, et de favoriser un cadre réglementaire qui est plus propice aux investisseurs étrangers. Alors, il faut qu'on mette pause sur ça parce que les investisseurs étrangers déjà ont des termes très très favorables. Si vous investissez plus de 100 millions par exemple au Cameroun, environ 20 à 25 millions sera retourné à cet investisseur en termes d'impôts suspendus ou d'autres bénéfices, etc. Alors il faut améliorer l'environnement, mais pas forcément baisser les taux. Sixième, il faut stimuler la production manufacturière. Il faut élaborer une stratégie nationale de l'ASLECA. Parce qu'on a signé l'ASLECA en 2018, mais depuis qu'on a signé l'ASLECA, qu'est-ce qui s'est passé au Cameroun? On a créé quelques conseils, il y a une stratégie pour l'ASLECA, un site web a été créé au ministère du Commerce, mais si une entreprise veut exporter aujourd'hui sur l'ASLECA, qu'est-ce que cette entreprise doit faire? On n'a toujours pas ces informations. les lois d'origine. Si je produis cette bouteille de thon grenadine au Cameroun, comment est-ce que je peux déclarer avant d'exporter? Quelles sont les parties prenantes qui ont fourni les différents produits pour ce jus? Les lois d'origine, toujours, au niveau de l'Union africaine, c'est fait. Au niveau du Cameroun, nous ne savons pas quoi faire. Alors, soit nous utilisons les mêmes approches proposées par l'Union africaine, ou on propose une approche camerounaise, mais il faut absolument qu'on commence à mettre en place les dispositifs pour faciliter l'implémentation de la ZLECAF. Ceci n'est pas une attaque au ministère du Commerce, bien sûr, mais c'est pour dire que si nous ne tirons pas, si nos entreprises ne tirent pas encore les bénéfices de la ZLECAF, c'est parce que nous sommes toujours en train d'attendre que la GIZ ou la Banque mondiale viennent nous dire « Si vous implémentez ces réformes, la croissance va augmenter par 2%. » On ne doit pas toujours attendre que l'Europe ou des partenaires viennent nous dire comment implémenter les accords commerciaux pour pouvoir tirer les bénéfices. Le travail doit être fait par nous-mêmes. Dernièrement, nous proposons un renforcement de la réglementation commerciale. Ce n'est pas pour dire, c'est pas pour avoir des livres de réglementation, mais de rendre la vie plus facile à des exportateurs et des importateurs. CEPI compte un peu plus de 50 procédures d'export et d'import, qui est très difficile, mais très bureaucratique pour les PME. Alors, il faut simplifier ces procédures, pas seulement parce qu'ils vont améliorer la gouvernance, mais aussi parce que ça va encourager plus d'entreprises au Cameroun à importer et à exporter eux-mêmes. Nous pouvons avoir une plateforme comme Facebook, où tu mets tes produits et on te dit combien ça va coûter en termes de kilogrammes, ou combien ça va coûter pour importer un tel produit. Le Rwanda l'a fait et le Cameroun peut le faire. Dernièrement, nous proposons un investissement dans les infrastructures. L'amélioration des infrastructures de transport et de logistique sont très essentielles pour faciliter les flux commerciaux.